Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker Ballet is based at one remove on E.T.A. Hoffmann's story, The Nutcracker and the Mouse King. The immediate basis for the ballet was actually a lighter French adaptation of Hoffmann's tale by Alexandre Dumas-Pere. As holiday time approaches, let's open the storybook to Chapter 2 of The Nutcracker and Mouse King by E.T.A. Hoffmann. The chapter is titled The Gifts. Kind reader or listener, whatever may be your name, whether Frank, Robert, Henry, Anna, or Maria, I beg you to call to mind the table covered with your last Christmas gifts as in their newest gloss they first appeared to your delighted vision. You will then be able to imagine the astonishment of the children as they stood with sparkling eyes, unable to utter a word for joy at the sight before them. At last, Maria called out with a deep sigh, "Oh, how beautiful! Oh, how beautiful!" And Frederick gave two or three leaps in the air, higher than he had ever done before. The children must have been very obedient and good children during the past year, for never on any Christmas Eve before had so many beautiful things been given to them. A tall fir tree stood in the middle of the room, covered with gold and silver apples, while sugar almonds, lemon drops, and every kind of confectionery hung like buds and blossoms upon all its branches. But the greatest beauty about this wonderful tree was the many little lights that sparkled amid its dark boughs, which like stars illuminated its treasures, or like friendly eyes seemed to invite the children to partake of its blossoms and fruit. The table under the tree shone and flushed with a thousand different colors. Ah, what beautiful things were there! Who can describe them? Maria spied the prettiest dolls, a tea set, all kinds of nice little furniture. And what eclipsed all the rest? A silk dress, tastefully ornamented with bright ribbons, which hung upon a frame before her eyes, so that she could view it on every side. This she did, too, and exclaimed over and over again, "Ah, the sweet, oh, the dear, dear frock! May I put it on? Yes, yes, may I really wear it?" In the meanwhile, Fred had been galloping round and round the room, trying his new bay horse, which, true enough, he had found fastened by its bridle to the table. Then he reviewed his new regiment of hussars, who were very elegantly arrayed in red and gold and carried silver weapons, and rode upon such bright shining horses that you would almost believe these were of pure silver also. The children had now become somewhat more composed, and turned to the picture books which lay open on the table, where all kinds of beautiful flowers and beautifully dressed people and boys and girls were playing, painted as natural as if they were alive. Yes, the children had just turned to these singular books when, kling-ling, kling-ling, the bell was heard again. They knew that Godfather Drosselmeyer was now about to display his Christmas gift, and ran towards a table that stood against the wall, covered by a curtain, in reaching from the ceiling to the floor. The curtain, behind which he had remained so long concealed, which quickly was drawn aside, and what saw the children then? All that from Chapter 2 of The Nutcracker and Mouse King by E.T.A. Hoffmann. The scene is titled The Gifts, and the tension is building until the presentation of the Nutcracker itself. We see the children tire of the splashy, dashing presents, but it is the Nutcracker, part of a wondrous folk tradition, each one carved by hand, and so each with something of the woodworker imbued within. And the one-of-a-kind magical Nutcracker is the gift that sets the whole story in motion and opens Maria here in Hoffmann and Clara in the ballet to the world of the imagination and the beauty of nature and, yes, the scary parts of dreams and life, but ultimately to the magic of it all. That's the true gift of the story, perhaps. Audiences around the world return over and over to experience the wonder, the beauty, and joy of Tchaikovsky's ballet. And each year, for 50 years, Ballet Theatre of Scranton has presented The Nutcracker as a gift. That's our theme today, a gift to the region, free of charge for all of us. 2025 marks the 50th anniversary of the Ballet Theatre of Scranton productions of Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker, and The Nutcracker as gift. And Joanne Arduino, artistic director, paid a visit to talk to us about this remarkable tradition and how it began.
My mentor, the Grand Dame of Ballet in Northeastern Pennsylvania at the time, Constance Reynolds, she was a native of Scotland, and she came to Scranton because her sister was married here in the States, and she passed. And she was sent here to raise her sister's children. She ended up marrying, eventually, her sister's husband, who became her husband. They divorced in the long run, and they had one child who was a professional dancer. But ballet was always part of her. She trained in Scotland. She had an injury of her knees, so it took its toll on her, but love of dance was always there, and she was a wonderful teacher. So when she came to the States, she lived in Moscow or Daleville, Pennsylvania, and she started teaching a few children in her backyard. And word got out of what a good teacher she was. So she eventually had more students, and she started teaching at the YWCA in Scranton. And from there, there was a couple, the McLeans, who were advocates of the arts, and they tried to help her establish herself. And she started her own studio at that time. And when she got to the point where she had enough students and that they were proficient enough, she felt that they were ready to do performances, and she decided that she was forming the not-for-profit Ballet Theatre of Scranton. And that was in 1958. So in 1958, she began Ballet Theatre of Scranton. As she had been, Nutcracker began in 1976. So in about 1975, Mrs. Reynolds decided that she wanted to give something back to the community. And she felt that the people of Scranton were always so welcoming to her that what she wanted to give back, of course, was dance, because that was her love. And she felt at that time the best thing to do was give a gift at Christmas time. So she went to what was then Marywood College and talked to the president, the late Sister Coleman Nee, and asked at that time if they could be partners and present the Nutcracker as a gift to the community. And honestly, I believe at that point in time, first of all, she was a woman in the 70s, and so she was a pioneer. And also, partnerships weren't done as much as they are now. Now, actually, with funding and things, the more things you partner with, the better the result is. But she knew that then. She was a real visionary. So they had this agreement. So Marywood gave their theater, and a lot of their theater students were part of the production, whether backstage or on stage. So that's how that began. I think it began with 4 or 5 performances. I can't recall that. I was actually in the first performance. I had just graduated from high school. And so I was in that performance. And I danced the Dewdrop Fairy in the Waltz of the Flowers and the lead Chinese dancer that year. And the story I always tell Erica, which is so, I just think it's just charming. Mrs. Reynolds, the first performance, because we had no budget. And we just had the love in our hearts that we wanted to give back. And I mean, I have to say, it's the same this year. It doesn't matter what year it is and what the scenery is. It's the same feeling from all the people involved. But the first year, there was not really much scenery. And you know, part of Nutcracker is the magic, the growing Christmas tree. Now, there was no budget for it. So there was a tabletop Christmas tree. So Mrs. Reynolds went out on stage prior to the curtain, and she asked all of them in her wonderful Scottish brogue, "Now you must use your imagination. In the dream scene, when the lights flash, I want you to imagine that Christmas tree growing through the rooftops." So that's how we began.
And not a year missed, maybe COVID?
We didn't even miss in COVID. In COVID, we filmed it with a professional company from Philadelphia, and we showed it for two performances at the drive-in theater in Scranton.
It is so important, especially during COVID. We need something like
that. And people wanted to get out, and we did need it to enlighten people because they were so down about the state of the world at that point. And I remember how difficult that production was because we were filming at the theater at North because we've moved the production to the theater at North a few years ago. And we also moved the timing of Nutcracker. It used to be the 3 days after Christmas, and it eventually ended up to be six performances. And it is still six performances. But during COVID, I had Christmas off and got to spend a lot of wonderful time with my family and friends. And I thought to myself, well, why can't we do this and kick off the holiday at Thanksgiving? So after COVID, we changed it. So it's perfect for Thanksgiving because we're giving, you know? And so now we do it at Thanksgiving.
What does the fact that you had a mentor, Mrs. Reynolds, and Henry Danton, another remarkable mentor, and they have the sensibility coming to the States and doing their work here, what difference has it made, not just in what they did or have done in and around the Nutcracker, but is there something else they bring to you as an individual, as a choreographer?
I think what they've given to me and to others whose lives they've touched is immeasurable. Not just their passion, but their knowledge and the history. And there are things that you can't teach. You can't read in a book. There are things that are passed down from generation to generation, from individuals to individuals, just nuances of things that they would know that, like I said, you can't read in a book. Just the lessons that I've learned from both of them, not just in dance, but in life. They've just taught me so much and so many other people that they've touched.
And Henry Danton worked with the greats, Margot Fonteyn.
Absolutely. Margot Fonteyn, Moira Shearer. I mean, it's so numerous all over the world. He actually did a sit down, his life in pictures at one point when he was 100 years old. And he did it here in Scranton. And he said to me, now, Joanne, I have a long version and a short version. Which one would you prefer? And I said, well, maybe, Mr. Danton, you should do the short version. He said, okay, it'll be about an hour. So about 50 of us gathered, and we had a big screen, and he went through each slide he had of the photographs, and it was amazing to me. At 100 years old, he could tell you exactly where he was, who he was with. I mean, he was in the south of France with Margot Fonteyn, Sir Frederick Ashton, all kinds of people. And the funny thing is, 4 hours later, people were having to leave because he spoke so much about his life and what happened and who he knew. It was absolutely mesmerizing, but it was a little longer than 1 hour.
Did he have anything to do ever with your Nutcracker?
Yes, he did. He lived in Scranton for a few years. I can't tell you when, maybe 10 years ago. And so when he lived here, he taught here for us as well. And so he set some of the ballets when he was here.
We know about the magic, and we use our imagination in every way, and I think dance is such a wonderful vehicle for stimulating our imagination, of course. But what do you love about presenting the Nutcracker Ballet in that regard, the magic of it all?
I think to look in the children's eyes who are in the audience, because you can see the magic in their eyes, because they believe. And I tell the dancers all the time, right before the curtain goes up, make your magic on stage and it will come across the footlights. And if what they feel they can convey to people in the last row, that's the most important thing. I mean, of course, technically, we want them to be beautiful and do all the choreography correctly. But for the soul to be expressed, you can't help but feel that in the audience. And like I said, the little children that come, their eyes just light up and you could see the magic in their eyes.
And again, let's go back to the tree image. You are Ballet Theatre of Scranton, and our mutual friend, my longtime colleague and your mutual friend, Larry Voitko, would in interviews say, now, Joanne, it is Ballet Theatre of Scranton.
Yes, and you know, I didn't select the name, Mrs. Reynolds did, but through the years, theater has become very integral in our productions. In Phantom of the Opera, the ballet we did, Dracula, the ballet we did. Now we do the romantic classics and all the classics, of course, the fairy tale ballets. But theater has been very important. I think it's important to the dancers to be well-rounded and to be versatile, that they are storytellers and they need to be actors as well as dancers in order to convey the story. So in Nutcracker, I mean, there's so many technical aspects that are theatrical. And my friend, we've talked about him many times, Dennis Size, the lighting director, he always says, I'll bring my magic, and he does. And so many people bring so much to this production, hundreds of volunteers that just give of themselves, as well as the dancers, of course.
Footnote about Dennis Size, he's from Scranton. He's a longtime friend of yours, and he's a pro on the national, international
stage. Absolutely, yes, and we're very fortunate. He comes every year. He lights our Nutcracker. In fact, he's here today. And then he leaves after the Nutcracker, before it even goes onto the stage. He's here for all the technical rehearsals and dress rehearsals. And then he goes to his next job, and he comes also in for our spring ballets.
And he was with ABC. Didn't he do Vatican things?
What? Vatican, Super Bowls, Olympics, Oprah Winfrey, all kinds of. I mean, he just redid the studios for Good Morning America. So he's done a lot. And he said he did the Good Morning America studios back in 1980s. And so he was redoing them again this time.
Well, it says so much because he doesn't have to. He could play somewhere else. And you say he thinks of it as kind of a chance to play, right?
He does. And we're fortunate because he's part of our family.
How about you in bringing the Nutcracker to the stage, since you've been the artistic director? Is every year different in terms of choreography or spirit, or do people expect something, so you want to give them what they know and love? How do you strike
that? Well, there's two points about that. I like to mix it up because it's fresh to me. And a lot of the people who come, it's tradition, so they come every year, and so it's fresh to them. There are certain things that are traditional, and it's a stepping stone for the dancers to learn those pieces. And it depends on what dancers I have, because they all have different levels of technical abilities, but also their style. So it depends if I have a lot of men that year, if I have a pas de deux to do, or maybe the men aren't ready for pas de deux work yet, so it might be a solo for a girl. So I try to choreograph to the person, because you want to make them look the best that they can and just have a positive feeling all around.
What about guest soloists?
We are bringing in two wonderful guests this year. Now, we do have a girl coming back. She was through ballet theater from when she was 4 years old. She graduated last year, and she's now at the North Carolina School for the Arts. She's a ballet major there. So Laura Durkin will be coming back to reprise her role as Sugar Plum Fairy. Her partner is a professional dancer from New York City, Sanford Placide, who was with the Dance Theater of Harlem. And then, because there are six performances, it is so demanding a role, so you can't expect somebody to do two shows a day for 3 days in a row. So we hire two other dancers, and they have become friends, and they come and they teach at our summer intensives. They're a married couple who are principal dancers at Philadelphia Ballet, Ariane Molina Soca and Dayese Torriente. And they're both from Cuba originally, and they just had a new baby girl.
I love the family aspect of your enterprise.
It's important to me.
And there are certain parts of the Nutcracker for little ones, for example, that might be a little scary. Is that a particularly fun part for the dancers or you? How do they take that?
It depends on the child. Some of them in the battle scene with the mice and the fight are a little afraid of the mice, but others, especially the boys, love. That's their favorite part. And some of our dancers really want to dance the role of the Mouse King. They love that role because it's exciting and they're actors. However, they do have to wear a big head, and so that takes a lot of rehearsal to get used to.
And do you use the same music in the recording?
The recording, we have started from the 25th anniversary. We use the Bolshoi recording. And it was out of print for a long time, but we had the original. And I don't know if it's back in print now, but we've used the same version for all these years.
You might tell us about the wonderful treasure of recordings that you do have.
Oh, well, thank you. As I told you, Erica, when I came and saw your wonderful library of albums, record albums, one of my mentors, the late Henry Danton, used to tell me that we have probably one of the most extensive, if not the most extensive, libraries of ballet music of anybody he knew in the world. So that was quite a compliment.
And so 5-0, obviously you've got to get a production on, so you've got details and all those things to coordinate. But if you have a moment when you're driving or something, what goes through your mind about
I can't believe it's been 50 years. It flew, truly. And what's wonderful about it is we're having a gala that is coordinated with the Jubilee performance, which is the Saturday evening performance. And right now we have 190 past dancers coming. Now, there have been thousands of dancers that have gone through the ranks at Ballet Theatre and Nutcracker, but just the people who are coming that can't wait to see dancers of the past. And I mean, the first Sugar Plum Fairy is flying in from California. We have another gentleman who was a designer, a costume designer in Boston. He used to design for Priscilla's of Boston, and he just moved back to the area to take care of his mom, and he's doing costumes for us, and he was in the first production. So there's many. It's just so heartwarming when people will text me and say, I want to come, I want to see the other dancers. And we're doing an alumni photograph on stage prior to the performance. And then they will be, of course, in the audience. And then after it, we will have the gala at Posh at the Scranton Club.
And I love it that you were in the first performance.
What's wonderful is I know all the people coming, which is really fabulous.
If we're talking about looking over a span of 50 years, have there been developments in the world at large in ballet that have impacted people like you who run institutions like Ballet Theatre Scranton?
I think the biggest challenge is financially. And because we do it as a gift to our community for all these years, we've really depended on our local legislators and patrons of the arts, and there have been some trying times. We're fortunate in the 25th anniversary, we've got some new scenery that was funded through the state, and then we had it again earlier than that, a family decided to donate to us to underwrite scenery. But this year we've really, it's amazing to me, the people who have come out to help us financially in all aspects of the production to help it continue.
Joanne, tell us now how and where we can celebrate 50 years of Nutcracker with Ballet Theatre of Scranton.
Nutcracker runs November 28th, 29th, and 30th, each day at noon and 5:30. If you want to attend, of course it's free, but you have to get there 2 hours before the specific performance at the box office to get your free tickets. I would suggest the Saturday evening show is almost sold out because it's a Jubilee performance and many alumni are coming.
And you're offering so much more to the community.
Ballet Theatre is busy during this holiday season. The Santa Parade is this coming week for us. And we have since, I believe it started in 1992, and we've opened that parade every year with our Parade of the Wooden Soldiers, which is our rendition of the Radio City Rockettes' Wooden Soldiers. And once that was seen by, I don't remember which executive director of Philharmonic, they asked us to bring that to the Philharmonic. So for, I can't tell you how many years, it's a tradition now with the Philharmonic. So we will be performing that, along with other things, on December 6th at the Cultural Center. And we will do the Parade of the Wooden Soldiers. We are also doing, because they're doing many beautiful candlelight things, so we are doing a piece, O Holy Night, with the soprano. And there will be angels in the aisles and on the stage with candles. And we always do the Jingle Bell finale, bringing in Santa Claus.
This is really a landmark moment, Joanne. And please know that we here at WVIA salute you, all of you, on the 50th anniversary of Nutcrackers, presented by Ballet Theatre of Scranton as a gift to the community.
And I am so grateful to all of you, you and Larry and all the people here, because first of all, what you do for the arts is unmatched, and we need to value, everybody needs to value that and know that it's important to support it and sponsor it. And what you do for us, we're just so grateful because you've been a longtime friend of Ballet Theatre and myself.
And Joanne Arduino and Ballet Theatre of Scranton, longtime friends of WVIA. Joanne Arduino giving so much to the young people, especially of this community, within the framework of Ballet Theatre of Scranton and outside in all the educational projects she's designed and been part of. So congratulations to Ballet Theatre of Scranton. You can take part in this anniversary celebration, 50 years of Nutcracker performances by Ballet Theatre of Scranton, Thanksgiving weekend, so Friday, November 28th, the 29th and 30th, two shows each day, one at noon and then later in the day, 5:30 p.m. And for more information on the web, ballet.scranton.org. ballet.scranton.org. The performances will take place at the theater at North, 1539 North Main Avenue in Scranton. The Nutcracker, presented by the Ballet Theatre of Scranton under the artistic direction of Joanne Arduino. For 50 years, this is the 50th. They didn't even miss a beat for COVID. And the shows are Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, November 28th, 29th, and 30th. Two shows each day, one at noon and the second at 5:30. Again, Theatre at North, North Main Avenue in Scranton, balletscranton.org.